Now stay tuned for To Your Health, where food is on the table and center stage. To Your Health is brought to you by Hamilton's at First and Main, celebrating over 20 years of sustainable fine dining on the downtown mall. And by Rebecca's Natural Foods in the Barracks Road Shopping Center. Now here is your host, MC Blair.
Good morning, Charlottesville. This is MC Blair. I'm here, and I am talking with Mitzi Hammer. Hey, Mitzi, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank
That's
you.
Great. And she is of or from Hammered Inn Farm, right?
Yes, is that yes it? Sir. Yeah. Hammered Inn Farm and Garden.
So do you have an inn there?
We don't. We just had quite a few visitors the first year that we moved here and started calling it the Inn.
That's great.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah. When I first saw it, I looked at your website and I saw Hammered Inn. I said, oh, wow, you have a B&B?
It's a B&B for particular people.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, the preferred friends list. Yeah,
there you go. And your animals. They're permanent residents.
About 39 of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so organically grown vegetables, preservative-free sauce, colorful flowers, and garden transplant, free-range eggs, and fresh air-raised meat. That's pork, right?
Yes, sir.
Right. And I was looking at your website. That's Tamworth.
It is.
Hogs.
That's what we try to get from our farmer friends.
That's great. The heritage breed, obviously.
Yes, sir.
And what organically grown vegetables? Tell me about that.
Well, we moved here from Virginia Beach in 2010, mm-hmm. and we were caregiving for my husband's mother, and I needed to fill my time with something that got me out of the house, and we started growing these peppers for a friend who wanted just the seeds, and he needed us to keep it organic, and so we did that for our first year, and then the meat of the peppers was thrown to our chickens, and then the second year, we said, well, this is kind of wasteful if our chickens are just getting the meat, so we started making the preservative-free sauce, and everything is organic, and we just do companion planting with certain flowers mixed in with all of our plants, and then, we go around with our gloves and squish the ones that we don't really want to necessarily have there, or we'll kind of scoot them into a bucket and then take those to the chickens. So yeah, it's totally a full circle.
Yeah, it does. Sounds like it. And I noticed that last time when I was at the farm stand, by the way, they are at the city market. They're on Water Street each and every Saturday during season, and that's from 8 a.m. until noon.
Yes, we're at E2.
That's if you come from the Water Street side, that's the second aisle, and you kind of bang a right, and they're like the second one in from there.
Yes, sir.
So it's pretty cool. And I noticed you had some habaneros.
We do.
Pretty hot stuff, man.
We do. My husband is very much enjoying this year growing about 25 different varieties of super hot peppers. But the peppers that we use in the sauce are the same heat on the Scoville scale as a habanero. They're just called a paper lantern pepper. But the same heat as a habanero.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Now, can you feed the meat of that to the chickens?
Oh, yeah. That's what they love.
No kidding.
They
maybe not have
it.
The receptors that even detect the heat?
They don't. And what's the only thing that it caused, they didn't get angry or spit at us or anything. Mm-hmm. The only thing that changed was that their yolks were just as vivid orange as that UVA shirt that you're wearing.
Because of all the beta carotene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it just made it beautiful when you cracked open an egg in the skillet. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm leery of a yellow yolk.
Yeah. The deeper the color, I think that's the better character of the quality of the chicken that
absolutely.
Is producing
and
it.
Egg and I have one friend that has an organic farm, and he actually grows sections of collards and spinach for the chickens.
Most
and that's
certainly.
Where they go and eat their greens, and the more greens they have, the oranger the egg as well, because beta carotene.
Most certainly. I mean, when we companion plant and it becomes so overridden that we just need to actually take those plants out, they just go directly in with the chickens, and they have a field day working on all of the insects, and then also the organic matter as well.
Well, I know that, absolutely. They love the insects, and if you ever have a rotational grazing with beef, they'll scratch the cow pies and eat the fly larva, and a couple of days later, you didn't even know cows were there.
Right. It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. It really is.
If we allow it to happen, and we set it up, and somebody educates us on how to do it correctly, it all flows perfectly.
Well, that's how nature does it.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a free range, a range, you know, with animals that go in and out, you'll see them. They'll cross the range, and then you know, you get the other birds and other things that go in and clean up after them.
Oh, it's fantastic!
There you go.
Oh, yeah,
you know, it's really neat.
It is magical to see.
It is. It absolutely is. So you have flowers as well. You say companion flowers. Are some of those edible or?
We have nasturtium,
right.
That we'll put
okay.
in there. You know, mainly our marigolds. We don't do any of the delicate marigolds that you can eat
right.
And throw into salads. But we actually plant rows of basil
mm-hmm.
for the purpose of not harvesting the basil. They're just simply there for the bugs to go to so they don't attack our pepper plants.
Well, they will attack a pepper plant, but if you, like I say, if you got that basil, they'd rather have that.
Exactly. But
that's
our flowers
cool.
that we grow are annuals,
right.
and we're just in the beginning stages. We're about, this is our fourth year. Mm-hmm. This past spring was our fourth year doing that. And again, just a challenge for ourselves to see if we could, instead of going and spending hundreds of dollars at a big box store, we said, well, why don't we try to do it at our house
yeah.
and germinate the seeds and move forward, you know, learning as we go. And we have a good base of customers that love to come over, and they'll bring their kids pick out the flowers that they want. They bring their containers with them. And I actually ignore the parents who have the money to spend on the flowers. Mm-hmm. And I just sit there and work with the kids.
That's so
and we'll
awesome.
Talk about how tall they'll get, how wide they get, what should go in front. This plant shouldn't go with this plant. Let's look at the colors. This one trails. This one bushes out. It's just a lesson in patience and a lesson in getting to know that person that's 100 degrees beside you.
You're listening to 94.7 WPVC, To Your Health. And I'm here talking with Mitzi Hammer. And, of course, she's the other half of that partnership is Aaron, her husband. So
yes, sir.
Yeah, and they live out in Earliesville with a Virginia Beach phone.
No. I know, exactly. We still have those roots, those beach roots.
That's right, that's right. I was 30 years at the beach, so I know exactly what you're talking about. So what about the organically grown vegetables? What vegetables do you grow? I saw on the website, I saw some broccoli and stuff like that. Is that?
Yes, sir. So mm-hmm. Every year we learn how to grow successfully new things. Usually we have had a little bit of failure to be able to work on for the next year. We probably do more vegetables that we would consume.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a background, my husband nor myself, do we have a background in horticulture, but we said, okay, well, let's just grow what we eat.
Mm.
And then 3 years ago started offering up our excess vegetables to some of our neighbors, called it a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture membership, had a few people. And so this year we have a successful 9-family CSA. And so obviously peppers aplenty.
Yeah.
And then squash, zucchini, corn, all sorts of about 13 different varieties of tomatoes, mm-hmm. broccoli, all sorts of herbs, eggplant. Yeah, and we'll just next year we're going to tackle doing potatoes. And, you know, we're just learning as we go.
That is great.
Which is probably the best lesson when we build relationships with the community is like,
yeah.
you know, just start.
Absolutely.
You
just
do
take
not
the
have
first
to have
step.
A degree in it.
No, right. Yeah.
Just have the patience and take the time and make the time.
Boy, that's the truth. And so let me ask you this. You're from Virginia Beach. Were you growing your own stuff down there or is this
no,
new from up here?
Like my dad, they actually are still, my mom and dad are still in the same house
mm-hmm.
That they bought in the 70s. And we had a garden and my best friend had a garden. And so I would really like to spend time out there. And probably the best feeling in the world is pulling a radish out of the ground and wiping off the dirt and eating it right there beside
yep.
your pops. He pulls out his pocket knife and slices the top off for you. And, you know, you're 6-7 years old.
Right.
And, you know, that memory just obviously stays here. I am 43 years old
yeah.
sharing that memory. But other than that, just our backyard garden and enjoying it and then coming up here and then having the challenge of growing the peppers for the seeds.
For the most part, like when you were in Virginia Beach, and I'm going somewhere with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
And you you were eating, but most of the time you would eat from the grocery store and stuff like that, right? Now, I don't know about you. I always got, each year I would get like, you know, maybe a couple of colds. I might miss a day here, a day there of work and feel under the weather for a while and all that. Since my diet has changed, nothing in the last 15 years. And I just wondered, have you noticed a change since you started growing all this produce up here and eating it yourself?
Well, of course, if you take care of your gut, your gut is going to take care of you, not only physically, in terms of your muscles and your body and your energy, but also mentally. Mm-hmm. It's going to take care of you. And really the practices of what we do is mental health and physical health as well. But yeah, you know, we don't have as many preservatives in our diet where we go and, you know, buy boxes and boxes of things that sit in a pantry, in our house, you know, when the hammered in, not necessarily an inn, but when we do have people come and visit, we'll send out whatever family member, kid, my 7-year-old mom or dad, hey, you know, we need to get some thyme. We need to get, some lettuce. Go, hey, go grab those carrots and take the tops off. And as you walk in the door, throw those into the rabbits and watch them eat. I don't need them for another 15 minutes. Take your time. So I think just the whole process of it is what gives you this, a dynamically healthy, peaceful life.
Yeah. And that, folks, there's one thing that I learned years ago was, lettuces, when as soon as the stalk is cut, it's harvested, it starts to lose nutrition, and within 2 hours, it's lost half its nutrition. So you can imagine, go get me this, get me that, boom, boom, it's in the salad, you're eating it. You're getting full boat right there.
Oh, yeah. You're closest to the sun eating it right there within those 15 minutes.
Right. And it's another reason why you should buy local, folks, is because it loses far less nutrition traveling, you know, 9 miles to the health food store, wherever you get your local, or to the farm stand. Most of the time in the city market, a lot of that food's been cut either the night before and a lot of it that morning.
Exactly.
And that's it. And that's why, another reason why, you know, you should buy local.
Oh, exactly. I mean, the CSA, we have our pickups in the evenings on Friday, then a few of our folks pick up at the city market. We just keep it there in a cooler waiting for them. And, you know, yesterday we woke up a little bit too early at 5:45 and said, oh, daggone it, we got to wait for the sun to come up so we can see. And, you know, or we grab our headlamp and we head out there, and it truly is picked, sorted.
Right then.
Put away right at the, and waiting for you.
Instead of traveling across the country from California.
Letting it ripen on its trip.
From Chile.
Exactly.
Whatever. You know, what is this? Something that looks red.
Yes, exactly.
A red food substance.
And lacking quite a bit of the flavor and nutrients.
Oh, my God. And I know. It's just, it's absolutely crazy how much is lost in transportation.
Certainly.
And so you're a first-generation family. Farm.
With the farm.
With
farm.
First generation,
you know,
family farm.
I think, you know, my family is from the Buena Vista area in Lexington, my mom's side of the family. And, you know, they definitely had gardens and had rabbits for meat. And they probably had hogs as well. But it was not necessarily a farmer lifestyle. It was a let's survive lifestyle. That's where, you know, they could afford to do that. But that was probably 4 generations ago. So we certainly are doing this blindly and running our mouths to as many people as we can and being very humble in the lack of knowledge that we had at the very beginning. And then, you know, now 6 years later, we can add to somebody else's experience.
Yeah.
You know, I just this week, and I'm not fibbing in this, I've had 3 different emails from current clients or current friends or current customers that have CC'd us in an email from another friend that they said, hey, they really have this dream of moving out here to Central Virginia. They just bought, you know, 12 acres. They have nowhere to start. Would you mind connecting with them? Heck yeah, we would. We will tell you how, I mean, every bit of our humble beginnings and what you can do if you just work at it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So if somebody buys 10 or 12 acres, I mean, that's just not enough to have a good farm, right?
That is not the truth at all.
I know.
You can do it. I mean, we actually farm less than an acre.
My
on our property and produce, like I said, enough. So right now we're doing a 14-week CSA program, and that's nine families plus our own.
Play yourself on less than an acre.
Oh, yes, sir. And then we have five. Well, it's 300 in the ground right now, which are just dedicated pepper plants for us to use in our sauce.
Yeah, yeah, no. And so there you go, folks. You don't have to have that much property. I mean, less than an acre. That was my dad. Mitzi keeps calling me sir, and I just told her that was my father. I'm MC or Mike. So anyway, but yeah, so less than an acre, and you can support basically 10 families in produce.
We can.
During season.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So, I mean, this is amazing. So, you know, we have, locally, we have the Urban Agricultural Collective of Charlottesville. You've got gardens at South First Street, Friendship Gardens, a couple of others that I've seen. And there, several of them are pretty small properties, but they are supporting a lot of people.
They can, certainly. And if anything, they're educating.
Well, that's it.
Them.
They are educating the community, because the community gets out there and works. Then they get the free food.
Yes.
And it's just a beautiful, beautiful circle.
It is.
You're listening to Your Health on 94.7 WPVC, and I'm here talking with Mitzi Hammer. I love that name.
It is pretty cool.
I know, right? So I see. So healthy soil. I know I've told people a million times, you know, clean water, clean air, clean soil. So so healthy soil. What have you learned about, you know, soil health?
We're still learning.
Okay.
We are learning. We can't rotation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can't do a crop rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Simply because we have
less than an acre
of land that we work with. So it might be that we just need to give a certain area a break.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, maybe just grow some flowers there, and not expect produce to be grown there. Like our tomatoes this year have been hit with blight, so next year we aren't going to be able to put them in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where our structure is. That's
sure.
where our fence line is, which
yeah.
is the support for the tomatoes. So now we have to get creative, look around the property and see what we have to build something else and put them in a different spot. But in terms of healthy soil, you know, definitely no chemicals. You know, if we want to see more blooms on our plants, we will go around with a spray bottle of diluted Epsom salt and add magnesium. That adds magnesium to the plants. You know, rock phosphate, we might have to add some of that. And then there's all sorts of other natural things that are fall into the organic category that you can add before you put down your rows and you build your rows up. That's just how we do it, is we build up our rows and then have some irrigation that goes down and some mulch that goes over top of that. But just being aware of what we put onto the plant, which is then going into the soil.
Yeah. So. No, and so you'll leave an area fallow, or you'll plant, you know, flowers, whatever, and of course that puts nutrients back into the soil that weren't there before, and then it's ready to plant another vegetable.
And we do leave, if it's not a diseased plant, we mm-hmm. will let it stay in the ground and rot.
Mm, right,
and
course.
Then all of that matter, that dead, delicious matter, is really adding something special to the soil, and it'll show us how thankful it is in the spring.
Well, I know I've been on several farms in the area, Mitzi, and what I've seen is that the... especially if you are doing rotating cows and pigs and stuff like that, that the microbial action in the soil, like to call it squirmy soil,
mm-hmm.
keeps the field from freezing.
Exactly.
It just doesn't freeze.
Right.
You know?
That warmth from everything decomposing. Yes, it is. And we do see the need to explore... maybe taking some classes on how we can make our soil work better for us, because that is a science that we have not been
absolutely.
Taught. And there is a way to do it with certain plants that you put in, you know, putting your dead leaves in there, having your compost pile, and we don't know the science behind that. I think we've had a little bit of luck when we put things in. We're like, woohoo, it grew. That's pretty awesome. Look how special we are. But we know that at some point that luck is gonna run out, and we're gonna realize that, oh, this did not produce as well because we didn't amend it at the beginning of the season. Mm. But that's all right. There's books. There's people. We just learn
Absolutely.
As we go.
And I'm going to be talking about learning when we come back. And we are back. Are we back? Yes, we're back.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I can't hear anything. My microphone came unplugged. See, we're just a local show, folks. We love it. We're real people.
Right on.
Hey, there you go. So I promised everybody that we were going to be talking about learning and education. You have a learning garden, don't you?
Well, we, both of our children went to Broaddus-Wood Elementary School in Earliesville, Virginia, and they both are in Girl Scout troops, and so they needed to fulfill they needed to do a project for the community. And so both of these troops decided that what they would contribute to their school was a learning garden. And so now that this is in place, back when we're 2019, so this was in 2014, 2015 that it was finished and then handed over to the school. Hammerdon Farm and Garden has, from the first year, so now for the last 4 years, has provided a plant for every single child in the school. And I'll get a list from one of the teachers there that kind of spearheads the mission. And she'll let me know who the teachers are. She'll let me know how many students are in each classroom. I will communicate sometimes with the teachers, and they'll say, okay, I have 25 students, and we're going to put it in on Monday. So I will put together the companion plants and what will grow well together. I drop them off in the morning, and in the afternoon, those kids have come out and worked within their specific raised beds, and they'll have planted those plants, and they get to come back in September after somebody manning it all summer long and watering it and weeding it and pruning it. They get to come back in a week, in, you know, August, end of August, and now in September, and they'll do it again this year, and they will actually go out and they will see what they planted back in, usually it's April or May. A lot of times it's that first week of May. And they'll be able to pull peppers and tomatoes off the vine and sit there and eat them right there with their classmates and their teacher.
That's so awesome.
It is.
That's so awesome.
It's quite amazing.
So I noticed also, like, working in the winter month, most people say, oh, well, you know, I've got this garden, you know, it's a quarter acre. It feeds me and two families. It's wonderful. But the wintertime, we're dead. There's nothing we can do in the winter. And I noticed on your website that that's not necessarily true, especially in our area, where it doesn't really, we sort of have tepid winters. You know, we don't get those severe, I mean, we do get severe cold sometimes, but not for prolonged periods of time. So speak to about that, how people can grow in the winter.
And you can. We actually have a 20 by 50 foot greenhouse that we were fortunate enough to put on the property. Last season, we felt the need that it needed to be climate controlled for heat so that we could start our transplants out there instead of starting them in our basement garage, which was a little bit cramped on space when you get to about 50 and 60 trays of seed starts. So the greenhouse allows us to start in February. You know, so during the evenings, yes, we do need to run our heat out there, but that whole, probably by 9-10 o'clock in the morning until the sun goes down, we don't need to use that gas heat.
Auxiliary heat.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. We can just rely on the sun to do what it needs to do. In fact, you have to come out there when it's a 40-degree day and kind of lift up the sides of the greenhouse so it can breathe a little bit because it gets pretty smoking hot in there.
Hot down there.
It will, even that early in the season. And that's another thing that we look forward to learning. Since we've just been doing this 6 years, we can't wait to visit hopefully some farms, other farms, more established farms that have been doing this for more generations who can teach us what are the techniques of growing in the winter. Over winter probably is going to only be in the greenhouse, but there are a lot of things that you can start if you are able to do some protecting from the frost. But, yeah. You know, I look forward to learning more and more about that.
Yeah.
So we can...
I noticed you mentioned
full season.
Yeah. I noticed you mentioned Broadus Wood Elementary. Is that
yes?
Have you ever worked with City Schoolyard Gardens?
No.
Ah, but
they were an amazing resource when the Girl Scouts were thinking about what they were going to do for their community. Mm-hmm. They have such a beautifully established program, a great mission. They have a website that lays everything out for you. It includes pictures. It has some different blog information that you can, you know, guide yourself on how to move forward with certain things. They were willing. I did speak to a couple of people from them many years ago. They were willing to come out and pick up a shovel with us and help us do things.
That is so awesome.
It is. And everybody here in this community is not in competition. Everybody is in collaboration.
Man, way to go, CSG. You guys rock.
Yeah, they're spectacular. And for the fact that they have sustained their mission and are only growing.
I know.
It's literally, amazing. Figuratively, yeah. all that the word growing means.
Yeah, yeah.
Growing knowledge, growing relationships, really doing very special work out there.
Absolutely. They really are. And the thing that I was talking with Renard Turner. He raises meat goats.
Okay.
And he gives speeches and all around for people. And he said the biggest challenge is the kids of the farmers taking over the farm, actually catching that dream, if you will, you know, and saying, man, I just want to continue this and grow it. And, you know, hey, there's some property over there. I think I'm going to get that. And, you know, that kind of thing. You know, maybe, you know, if they've got woods, maybe they'll get a logging company come in and harvest a few trees in the right spots and take that money and buy another plot to farm. And, you know, but that's the challenge, getting those kids to do that, rather than you've got 20 acres or whatever and the developer comes in and says, I'll give you $30,000 an acre. And they go, okay.
Right. And you know, we have quite a few friends who are beekeepers. And just a conversation that I had with my friend Ryan Williamson about the importance of, if you're not using your land to have your cows or whatever livestock to graze on, please turn it into a meadow.
Mm-hmm.
Please allow the bees that are in our hives to come and visit and be able to do what they need to do, one, so that the bees stay alive, but two, you know, he is harvesting the honey.
Yeah.
And, you know, how we love that beautiful cut grass, but sometimes needs to be those beautiful meadows so that we can keep this life cycle going.
Yeah, and I was at the Elysium Honey Company. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
I've heard of them, yes.
They, oh, my gosh, it's fabulous. They said that, like you were saying, if you have that, you know, all that expanse, you know, 2, 3, 4 acres, whatever, rather than keep it all planted in grass, which looks pretty, go ahead and plant the wildflowers. And if you do that, they'll end up migrating. The flowers will actually, you know, all of a sudden you'll have this big patch of a certain flower in one spot, and then they'll arrange themselves. You know, and some, you planted such and such over here, and all of a sudden it's not there anymore, it's over here. And there's a reason for that, and it's for the bees, it's for the pollinators, and that's what they do. It's awesome.
It is. And we have, we do not have an HOA where we live. We live on a street where it's 9 houses,
mm-hmm.
and we have developed such a relationship with our neighbors that they say, hey, I'm not using this piece of property to the right of the shed. Do whatever you want with it.
Wow.
Well, we literally have a beekeeper that lives across the street,
yeah.
and we're on one side of the street, and that piece of land that they're talking about is in between the two of us. Well, guess what I'm going to encourage them to do next year?
Yeah.
If we tend to it and make sure that it doesn't, you know, get too overgrown and not look too bad from the street. Let's put
that
a meadow
awesome.
In there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
But going back to the kids.
Yeah. I was just going to say.
I would love for, you know, we have two daughters, Layla and Cora, and, you know, obviously they saw the Learning Garden go from the very beginning stages of being a grass flat piece of property, and then, you know, a year and a half later, seeing it be the potential that was there, and then now it actually is growing things. They've seen us move into our home 9 years ago, or 9.5 years ago, and they've seen how that's developed. But if you have enough people on your team, people are good at different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I have one daughter that could probably sit there and plant 1,000 plants with me in a day and just shift in the dirt along the rows with me. I have another daughter that's not what she's into. You know, Cora would much rather go to the farmer's market and sell the sauce, and the elation in her eyes of, you know, my mom and my sister planted these in April, and this is the fruit that we put into our sauce. And so they might not find joy in certain tasks, but if you surround yourself with either a family, a team of friends,
a community, find
a community, yeah, mm-hmm. these community gardens, find out who doesn't mind being covered in dirt head to toe. Have them spearhead the very beginning of the season. You know, find the people that have really good eyesight that can take the little tiny seeds and put them into the cells to germinate them. You know, find out what people's interests are, what their education is, what they're willing to learn, and then give them that task. And that, because not one person can do everything.
No.
It has to be collaborative.
Yeah. This whole thing takes a village. It takes a community, you know, to really get things right.
Right.
Because, like you said, everybody has their own talent.
Right.
And interest.
So we hope that our girls will either learn from what we've done and move with the same dream that we have. And if they don't, they'll definitely take what they've learned and go into something. But we really do hope that they appreciate that homesteading mindset.
So let me ask you this. Do you ever find all of a sudden the door's knocked on and there's the beekeeper with a bunch of honey?
We do. Actually, our friend Adam Owen, who is the beekeeper across the street from us, he has Sublime Bees, and we had our flower sale on our property, and so they came over, and I think that our friend was leaving with you know, a couple of container plants and some annuals for her to plant, and she did get a dozen eggs from us, and I think we sold her a couple of pork shoulders, and she said, oh man, this would just be perfect. I just need honey. And Adam had just come up to check his mail, and I was like, hey Adam, can you bring over 2 pounds of honey for us? And, you know, 15 minutes later, here he comes walking up the road with, you know, 10 pounds of honey in jars. And, you know, I said, okay, well, let me just keep them and I'll sell them as people come through today.
Sure. Yeah.
So yes.
Yeah. No, that's.
And the bartering, we just bartered for some fresh trout the other day. I mean, it's a beautiful, cool way to live.
Yeah, it is. And stress-free.
Venison, fish, anything that we don't have ourselves. Hey, let's trade pork. Let's trade eggs. Let's trade vegetables. It's awesome.
So from going back to the first segment, when I was asking you about your life in Virginia Beach, your health in Virginia Beach, you would get a cold, couple of colds a year and all that normal stuff. You were certainly healthy as far as the docs were concerned. But since you've moved, you're not going there, less co-pays. How about your daughters? Are they're in the hospital all the time and all that? Or no? No.
I don't think we've had them on an antibiotic.
Yeah.
They really are very healthy girls.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, folks, is there are natural substances that come out of the earth, believe it or not, that if you get a cut, or you get a burn, or you get a bee sting, or, you know, any number of things that can happen to you, there are natural substances that will keep you from ever getting an infection, will heal 2-3 times faster than, say, bacitracin or some other antibiotic cream, and you can do that. I mean, you know, you got aloe, you got comfrey. It just goes on and on. There's several others there as well. Plantain. I mean, you know, there's just tons of medicinal plants. Food is medicine as well. And naturally, if you get an infection now, these things won't work generally. But so you get them first, get them right off there, get the cut, they get this, they get that, boom, they're done, right? Is that, you've experienced that?
And that's another part of what you can learn about what we do is, okay, what are we going to do with the root? What are we going to do with the leaves? You know, let's figure out, you know, medicinally, I said that word incorrectly, but
that's okay. Easy for you to say.
Exactly. You picked up what I was trying to get at. Yeah. You know, and that's a beautiful science, and that is, that takes a lot to learn, and it is so vast in what it can do for us. You know, if only, and I think technology is totally necessary, but I also think that history gets way overlooked in terms of what we can learn from what people did.
No, it's true. That's true.
Before us, where they didn't have doctors to go to that were going to give you an antibiotic.
Yeah.
They had to rely on plant-based medicine.
Yeah. And it's there.
And it worked.
It does work.
So why? It didn't stop working.
No, heck no. And so one of the interviews I had early on from Farfield's Farm, and the man's name was Carter Wallace, and he was saying, you know, we all say, you are what you eat. We know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, folks, you're listening to Your Health on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice, the voice of resistance, right here in Charlottesville. I'm talking with Mitzi Hammer from Hammered Inn Farm. And so he said it's what you eat, but it's not what you eat, it's how you eat. And it's not even how you eat, it's why you eat. And so he was, of course, talking about the family meal.
Right.
And the family sits down, even if it's just once a week, because I know during the school year, you know, one girl's doing this, one girl's doing that. You know, you do have your farm, obviously, that's going on, and you have that in common. But you may not have a chance, but maybe once a week, to actually sit down as a family and have a meal. But that's real important, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
The most important thing.
I know it is.
You got to look at each other in the eyes
and find out this, find out that. It's just amazing. And so you have a far less stressed family, you know, when that happens.
We do.
And, of course, there's things that are going to come up, especially with kids. You know, you got this going on and that going on. You know, 12 years old, the sap is flowing, you know, and all that. So, you know, you've got things going on. But are you able to deal with those challenges easier because of the commonality of the farm?
Sure.
Okay.
One of the things that I took from my upbringing was sometimes you don't have to talk somebody out of the way that they feel. And with my girls being teenagers, they do not want me talking them out.
No.
Yes, I
embrace
am older and wiser.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can feel exactly the way that you feel. And if you don't want to sit here and have a conversation with me, let's go outside and let's weed. Let's go outside and transplant some plants. Let's go outside and see what the animals need. Let's displace your thoughts and put it towards something that we need as a family. We need to make sure that our animals have food and water. We need to make sure that our plants are growing. Get your mind off of things that may not be important in an hour from now. Yes, they mean a lot to you right now, and you might be really devastated, and you might be sad, and you're totally allowed to own those feelings. But if we can put some happier vibes back into you, maybe those will kind of melt away a little bit.
Oh, Mitzi, you hit the nail on the head. Folks, we're going to take another little break. Can you stay?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes.
Rock and roll. Yes, indeed. We're going to do exactly that. I am excited. And we are back. this is MC Blair. You're listening to Your Health on WPVC 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I am talking with Mitzi Hammer from Hammered Inn Farm in Earliesville, and they're at the City Market each and every Saturday during season from 8 a.m. until noon, and that's she's there with her husband, Aaron, and they have a wonderful farm. We've been talking about family and how you can actually work with the challenges of teenagers, And, you know, I love what you said about owning. I think that's the key. You own your own feelings. And so many kids are, you know, oh, Mom, I feel this, I feel that. Well, Mom's got her problems, too. Don't talk to me. Go watch TV. Don't talk to me. Go play your video games. And that's cutting off that member of the family. That's not allowing them their feelings. But you allow them to own their feelings, but not dominate others in the family over those feelings. Is that correct?
I mean, because emotions can be dangerous.
Sure.
But what you initially feel is real.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't have that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to take a little bit of time. We're a Christian family. You need to maybe meditate a little bit.
Sure.
On how you can process that. But a lot of times you just need to move on.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to distract yourself. You know, just when they're 3 and 4 years old, you just, if they're doing something wrong, you just turn them in the other direction and distract them with another thing. Let's redirect. And you can do that as a teenager. And I unfortunately lost a cousin growing up who took his own life. And it was the day before we moved up here to Charlottesville.
I'm sorry.
And thank you. And I just wanted my children to realize that 2-inch by 3-inch screen is not dictating your life. There's some pretty good information that you can get. There's some pretty dangerous information that you can get. But that scope is not what your world can be.
Mm-mm.
And I think that was a big part of being able to open up the world to our children on our farm. Was okay, let's see. Yeah, so you have that screen and you can use that screen to do some entertaining things and to entertain yourself, but I also need you to be really aware of sitting on the back porch and looking to your left and looking to your right and seeing everything that's growing in between, and like closing your eyes and feeling the wind and, you know, hearing the hummingbird that comes by. And, you know, I know that sounds super cheesy, but there really isn't much better. There isn't a better activity that you can do than just to kind of be still and not have to talk to each other, because you're just allowing them to sit in that moment and appreciate what's out there. And,
and
that's what these school gardens are all about. The people that started the city school gardens, that's exactly what they want.
Yeah.
Their mission is to get out there and to get these kids learning about the cycles of life. And the relationships that it is between the person beside you, the relationship that you have with the plant that you're responsible for pruning and growing and, you know, making sure that if, you know, didn't get enough rain, it didn't get enough sun, what are some things that you can do and take care of that? And that's what our relationships are about, too. Not ignoring what somebody needs.
Yeah. But allowing them to own that. You know, as you say, own it. Because a lot of times,
certainly,
a lot of times, if somebody doesn't own their feelings, they're going to keep going to a default on every single time there's a challenge, they go to that default rather than acknowledge what they're feeling, own what they're feeling. And, well, it's because so and so said this, and now they made me feel this way. Wait a minute. Say, they said that. That's data. And you feel this, and that's a fact. That's data as well. But you chose to go there. That's your feeling. You must own that feeling. That has nothing to do with this other person. Obviously, unless they're a close family member and they know which buttons to push, that's different.
Right.
But, yeah, that's all different.
Oh, yeah.
But generally in life, when somebody says something on social media, which quite frankly, folks, ain't real. I mean,
the betrayal is not
exactly. And so when they say something on social media and this person goes, oh my God, you know, my life is gone downhill, I'm no good, you know, because no. Okay, yeah, you feel that way and that's great. And so I love what you say. All right, let's hit the garden, you know, or let's just go for a walk. Or let's just go sit on the front porch or the back porch and listen and watch and observe. Tell me how many birds you see. Tell me how many, you know, this you see. Let's talk about how you feeling now. You know, right?
Well, I mean, people that have, you know, so many people are, I think, going to deal with anxiety.
Right.
In our age because we are so tapped into electronics.
Mm-hmm.
All of that energy that comes from that is putting us into a state of anxiousness.
Yeah, especially when you use it all the time.
Exactly.
Then that goes from useful and educational to unhealthy.
Right. And one of the things, I mean, fortunately, I have not had to deal with any kind of panic attacks or things like that, but mm-hmm. I have had friends that I've had to help them through. And I remember reading an article where, you know, if you just stop and look at your surroundings and think about the five senses, okay, take a deep breath, tell me three things that you see. A table, a chair, a lamp. Okay. What do you smell? Talk about what you smell. Close your eyes. I want you to, getting them distracted from what they're doing, and it brings their anxiety level down. And mm-hmm. that is what life is about, is recognizing that you can use all of your five senses to be this miraculously healthy person.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying a miraculously happy person, because
right.
That's not real. I mean,
yeah.
I'm very content and I'm
sure.
very happy
yeah.
in the moments
yeah.
of my life, but to be healthy, you know, your radio show, To Your Health, that's what it's about, is having this overall health, both mentally and physically and
that's
spiritually.
Why we're
doing
it.
And yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
You know, financial side, we won't talk about that. But
well, you know, I guess it, especially if you've got a garden and all that. You don't have time to spend money on something else, you know. Don't.
Well, for the fact that our grocery bill goes down.
There you go.
By more than half when
wow.
we are producing our own vegetables.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have a freezer full of the meat that we have raised out there in our backyard from happy hogs. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Financially, you don't have to spend quite as much.
I'm telling you. And then all of a sudden, your finances are looking
yeah.
a lot better, you know?
Yeah. You know. But that's another reason why the community is so awesome, is they're the ones that are supporting us.
Right. So it's good for your financial health,
yeah,
your mental health, your financial health, your bodily health. I mean, it's just great. I love this saying, and it says, the greatest fine art of the future will be making of a comfortable living, or making a comfortable living from a small piece of land.
Yes, sir.
Abe
yes.
Lincoln.
Yes.
That's on your website.
It is.
So,
it's the very first thing you see.
Yeah, I know. It's the truth.
He was
it
a pretty
really
smart
is.
Fella.
Yeah, he was. He definitely was. And it's like connecting with your family, friends, and neighbors. You talked about that. That's the good thing about it. Tending the earth for sustained fertility and biodiversity. So you got your flowers, you got your vegetables, you know, and peppers. I love it. I know those are vegetables.
Spice of life.
But maybe those are actually fruit. Who knows? Actually, I think they're fruit. Aren't they technically fruit?
I call everything
peppers?
Fruit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fruit of the vine.
Fruit of the earth.
Fruit
yep.
of the earth. Right. Appreciating nature's pace and natural tendencies. That's what you were talking about, sitting on that back porch,
mm-hmm.
or getting your hands in the dirt. Right, and you can
exactly,
and you can just be part of nature. You know, I know yogis always talk about being one with nature. That's something down the road,
it's a higher level.
But yeah, exactly. But if just being part of nature and understanding your part, then that's got to be satisfying.
Oh, and just the process.
Yeah,
from the fact that you tended to the seed, and then you have to watch that plant die.
If
it's an annual,
yeah.
you have to pull it from the earth when it's done.
Man.
But it's after it's given you a bounty.
Yeah, yeah.
But guess what? You get to do it all again the next year.
I know some of the first Americans had ceremonies, you know. And it was mostly after, killing a deer or wildlife for meat. And they would actually have a ceremony over that animal.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. Gets me emotional.
Being grateful for the life that was
exactly
extinguished.
Exactly. For
our sustainability.
Yep. And of course, they used
everything. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
From the bones to the skin.
Absolutely.
And all in between.
Every single piece was used. And, I mean, heck, the antlers were tools.
Exactly.
You know, and from needles to weapons, you know. It's amazing. And supporting life on the farm and our home and in our fields. That is, wow, what a worthy mission, you know.
Work towards it every day.
I know. And the fact you're able to support 9 other families with the produce is just, it's just absolutely amazing.
Thank you.
You get your from High Mowing Organic Seeds. That's a good, actually, Michael Clark from Planet Earth Diversified uses that company.
Right, and they, yeah. Fifth Season, mm-hmm. I think, has just added them. I know it might have just been within the last year. They've also added High Mowing Organic Seeds to mm-hmm. their selection that they have along with where you can get your locally sourced seeds.
Yeah.
But it's non-GMO, certified non-GMO, yeah, and organic yeah. seeds. And the germination rate, I think, on pretty much everything is above 90%. So nothing makes you feel like a good farmer when you have those seeds actually sprout and you think you're something special. But it's these people at High Mowing that know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah, they really do. Do you participate in no-till at all? Or
we try not to till every year.
Right.
We try right. to allow that organic matter that's in there, and then also allowing the worms to stay in there and for that to do what it needs to do. Get into the soil and
right. yeah,
and to till it up
squirmy
on its own.
Soil. Right, right, right.
I do have to say we don't know as much as there is to know mm-hmm. about the no-till practices.
Yeah, the carbon sequestration. Right, exactly.
But I would love to go to a seminar where someone can teach me a little bit more about it. But
well,
there is
know,
some pretty big, there's
one,
a big value to it.
One thing that I saw done was the guy got this the round hay bales. Mm-hmm. And he laid it out, laid these out. Of course, you know, it's about, 1.5, 2 inches thick, each mat. And he
right.
would put that over, and that would kill out all the weeds and whatnot. And then he would just make a indentation for each plant. Now, he was talking about actual, plants that he had started in the greenhouse, like you do.
Right.
You
know? It'll be a transplant instead
It'll
of a direct sow.
A transplant
sow.
Instead of a direct sow,
right.
exactly. And so once that's done, it tends to actually, and of course, if the ground is squirmy, mm-hmm. like yours is.
It's eating the dead matter.
Then
yeah.
it'll root right into that. It's not like trying to go into red clay or something.
Exactly.
And then it keeps the weeds down mm-hmm. for a time.
Right.
And eventually they are going to come back, but at least it'll give time for that plant to get a good hold in the ground, and he doesn't have to till that way. So that's one way that I know of. And I don't know. I know it's kind of neat. It's hard to do it all, you know.
Right. The only a lot of times for us, the tilling has been when we've needed to amend.
I see.
And yeah. that is we have it fenced in because mm-hmm. of the deer population,
right.
Especially out where we are. But we don't have the space to be able to bring in big machinery.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a friend that has a small, tiller
mm-hmm.
That he stands behind. He'll come over and we trade work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah
we help
yeah,
him
yeah.
put up a hoop house and he
of
comes
course,
over
yeah.
and tills for us.
Yeah.
And it usually is when we are adding on to the garden and where that red clay really does need to be loosened up
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and we need to add compost. We use Panorama Pay Dirt for most of our compost and adding that to it. And then we'll add our leaves and let it do its thing. And then the next year we'll come back through with our hands
yeah,
using
yeah,
the shovel
yeah,
on
yeah.
our knees, backbreaking work and pull the walkways up and make our rounded and molded beds
yeah.
and raised beds. And then we usually do not have to till again.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to get that first thing going and then after that you don't. And it's great because the carbon keeps staying in the ground where,
yes.
where it's supposed to go. Now, there's one thing that I noticed that's a problem, especially during the summer. to keep, especially if you're not eating every single thing that you pull out of the ground. Right now, I know you got your CSA, and that's, you know, nine families, so that's taking a good portion of that, and you got your family. But I know there's some extra out there.
Certainly.
How do you keep it cool and fresh?
Well, we have our sauce that we make.
Right.
We don't put any preservatives in it.
Okay.
And so we did some testing. There's a cannery out in Farmville that at the time, and it might still be, is run off of a government grant and is staffed per a grant. And so they have people on staff that are there that are completely educated on food safety and the methodology that you need to take to get it from one state to the next into the hands of the consumer.
Right.
So we went there and we talked to them about, heating the sauce to get it to a certain temperature and then putting it into the bottle,
inverting it, and then
it seals itself and it's shelf stable.
Yeah.
We didn't like the taste. We didn't like the texture after we had cooked
heated
it down.
Ah.
So we said, okay, a cold product is harder. You have to, when you start selling it in stores, you are going to take up space in a refrigerated section.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that they can just put on the shelf and let it be. And so we had some challenges figuring out how we were going to run the business on our property and still be able to have cold storage. And so it was just by happenstance and just running our mouth to the right people. Our UPS driver asked us this random question and started talking about a veteran friend of his that had started to farm because of PTSD and how the farming for him really put him in a wonderful spot. And he said, oh, he just built this thing that runs off of a CoolBot.
CoolBot. I love that.
And it has been a game changer for us. So we built an 8-foot by 10-foot by 8-foot tall shed that runs off of a large room air conditioner. And this CoolBot hooks up to the front. The thermostat comes off of the CoolBot and goes into the front grills of the air conditioning window air conditioning unit. And it tricks the unit to make that internal space go down to 40 degrees. And that's what we hold our sauce at. And when we had all of this space for our sauce, we also had all of this amazing space for us to keep the produce.
Produce.
Exactly.
Cool, yeah.
Yep.
And so you've actually got this deal. And, you know, everybody knows if you run a window unit down at 60, because that's where it's limited.
Stops.
But if you run it at 60 constantly, you run the risk of it freezing over and then not working at all. But this CoolBot actually has a way of recirculating and keeping that from just like a $7,000 commercial compressor, you know, of circulating and not letting it freeze over. This CoolBot does the whole thing for $600.
Oh yeah, we were in touch with a guy that sold commercial reach-in refrigerators that you would see at a restaurant, and he said it's going to be loud, it's going to be hot, and you can't get a repairman to come out to your property because of your liability insurance. They won't come out and fix it. And so this $300 piece of equipment, I don't even know how much it is now, but you know, 5 years ago when we put it in, literally saved our life. And that air conditioning unit, knock on wood, has been holding out for us with this original CoolBot.
That is
the original
amazing
air conditioning unit, holds it at 40 degrees all year long.
Wow.
It's
amazing.
Thank
you, Mitzi.
Yeah.
This has been great. Folks, you've been listening to Your Health right here on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. We'll be back next week. Thank you, Mitzi.
Thank you for this opportunity. It's been fun.